comforting. The butterflies are flying. The flowers are neon colored.
Hey, all right, so that's all good.
The little glowing things that are presumably money are popping out of the bushes because it's totally Eastern Zelda.
All right. So, welcome to a new episode of The Inklings. This is your host, Erinon. I'm here with Lady Lilsington, Texas, and also with, right now, Lord Octocide. So, we're traveling through Hobbiton right now. We will be following the footsteps of Bilbo Baggins in accordance with The Hobbit.
Hello.
Welcome, right now, to our first episode in a series on The Hobbit, where we will be traveling in the very locations of Middle-earth as recounted in the adventures of the
world. Is that tree made out of cotton candy? Like, no, it's just cherry blossoms.
Oh, no. Right.
Good day, isn't it?
Good day, Gamma.
I seem to have lost my quilting needle somewhere in town.
Find it yourself!
If you find it, could you please bring it to me?
Certainly, Gamma.
This is why Sauron is winning.
Precisely. So.
Oh my god, we're not even like 30 seconds from the game. We already have fetch quests.
No.
I know where everything is. I don't even have to talk to the people.
In regards to certain details, I think it's very important.
What is that you're bringing her?
A butter turner.
Oh, that's
That's like way oversized.
Okay, so.
The butter turner is taller than you are. How John, is that good luck for
good luck for a good conversation. Yeah.
Anywho.
Bilbo. Have some berry crumble tea cakes. I made them fresh this morning.
Oh, what?
And Bilbo, watch out for that wizard.
I hear he's gay.
We'll need a lot of food on our journey.
Anyway, on to some intelligible conversation for once. The Hobbit was published originally in the 30s, long before The Lord of the Rings, but after the original treatments of the Silmarillion. J.R.R. Tolkien had been told by the publishers, Rainer and Unwin, that the Silmarillion was unsuitable for publication. Therefore, he turned to a story which he had written for his children, a.k.a. The Hobbit. And what was interesting is he really didn't have even a clear perception of what a hobbit or halfling was in accordance with his mythology. It came to him one day, according to one tale, while he was grading papers. And while he was grading papers, he was
the
going through...
The not Hobbiton are in that apple orchard. I'd get some if I could climb those cliffs.
Why do you walk around the cliffs?
Well... Anyway, so one day he was grading some papers, and he basically suddenly had a stroke of inspiration, wrote that on a piece of paper, and the hole in the ground there lived a hobbit. And this basically sent him to begin writing more, but he didn't know what to write, and therefore he went back to earlier Silmarillion stuff, but he wasn't trying to make it exactly fitting in precisely. So, you know, we had some... differences, of course, between the Lord of the Rings narrative, which is very Silm-related, per se, going back to old mythology, and The Hobbit, which has juvenile references to, instances about the Silmaril, for example, according to
professors. You got an apple.
Wow, we just found an apple, people.
Let's go. Bomber will be happy.
Yes, Bomber will be happy. We're here with the dwarves, and of course, we're going to meet them at the Green Dragon Inn, which will be very fun. So, as we're walking here in, Hobbiton, it's important to know, basically, this is the setting
of... It's a really strong, flowing river. It's amazing that nobody hasn't drowned there yet.
Please describe the river. What
does it look like?
It's like five hobbits wide and like a hobbit deep.
Okay.
I think it's about two hobbits deep.
All right.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I give it four hobbits out of five.
All right, okay. So, what is the landscape of the Shire like?
Well, it's very, very much like a game, almost. It seems as if... You know, the player could very well, like if there were a player, I don't know who that would be, they could very well interact with the game, but it's kind of cheesy, and yet, like, you can't go right into the buildings. Like, if you press square on a building, it's going to say you can't go in. For example...
No time for that. I need to go meet the dwarves at the Green Dragon Inn.
Yeah, so he's using the excuse, and he needs to go meet some dwarves, apparently.
I mean, if there was, like, a god that called, like, the developers, maybe, that created this... Maybe they're lazy.
I mean, of course, it's Tolkien. There's no developers. This is real.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
See, like, yeah.
But I mean, realistically, what is the lane of Hobbiton like here?
Go ahead.
Well, it's like a nice dirt path, a bunch of buildings built into hills, you know. Happy music. I don't see where the musicians are, but they're obviously following us.
And there's some children that want to play hide and seek, which we'll speak momentarily.
They're playing near the river! That river is so dangerous!
Want to play some hide and seek? I'm afraid I'm in a bit of a hurry. We'll go hide. You seek. Ready? Go!
I like these children. They take what they want.
Children.
They take the candy.
Anyway, but so as I was saying, you know, this description as we're getting, however digitized as you're pointing it out, is in its sense what Tolkien's idealized version of a countryside in England will be, because with the development in England of this being the Industrial Revolution. A lot of the grounds which he had been exploring had been basically eaten up, and some people, it's a direct comment to the Industrial Revolution, but it's a comment on many things. And I don't think it's a deliberate, as Tolkien puts it, it's definitely not an allegory, but there's still a lot of symbolism and a lot of
interpretation. I thought it was an allegory for Jesus, maybe that was Narnia.
No, that's the Chronicles of Narnia, that's definitely.
I was watching The Wizard of Oz yesterday.
Anyway.
Is that Jesus' way?
Next time I'll find a better hiding place.
Next time I'll find a better accent.
Anyway, my friends here, as you can see, are
good
quite
good. That's a funny one.
Very good, Jaxus. Okay. I am very impressed with you, Jaxus, right now. You showed great fortitude in your question.
All right. Find those little kids. They're annoying me. Have they fallen into the river?
Oh, I don't really know what this is. Of course I do.
Anyway.
In the pig bush.
God damn it, where are those musicians? They need to play something else.
Well, I think the invisible musicians, that is.
There we go.
Are quite
don't mute the music. There you go.
That's better. Okay. So, on to actual descriptions of the book, which we were supposed to be talking about. The Hobbit, really, as a prequel to The Lord of the Rings, before it was even considered to be a prequel, is a very basically standalone, regular kind of plot. You know, it's Bilbo Baggins, who is swept on an adventure with basically the Wizard Gandalf and 13 dwarves. And their goal is to recapture the dwarves' lost gold, which has been captured by the dragon Smaug.
How did you find me?
You were standing out in the open next to a tree!
Oh.
What?
Anyway, so, like we're traveling through Hobbiton, you know, the descriptions of especially Bilbo's state, usually it's in the book at this point, almost bewildering. I mean, he's left his house without a pipe, pocket handkerchief, walking stick. Come on.
The music is so good, and the musicians, they just don't go away. I'm sorry.
They seriously don't go away.
They're lucky that we can't find them, otherwise we'd kill them and throw them into the river.
Anyway. Besides the barbaric natures of our characters here, as we're exploring, it's important to note, basically, this is definitely a huge transition point for Bilbo. He's on his way, he's heading off...
Well, I need to get to the other side.
I could fix it, but I'll need my hammer in nail.
A literal broken bridge, stop
the hammer. I saw Carl playing with it up by the waterfall.
I saw Carl playing with a hammer.
Well, I just saw the bridge
to get
the
hall. Bring back my hammer and nails, and I'll fix the bridge in 2 seconds.
Anyway.
Seriously, wait, Carl is...
Anyway.
Wait, no. Let me get this straight. So, Carl stole the hammer and is playing with the hammer in cliffs next to a waterfall. Do these people want their kids to die?
Well, in Hobbiton, it's a very free society.
How is this population sustained?
Well, the thing is, in Hobbiton, there is no, I mean, there's definitely not really a clear class distinction. Well, there are better off hobbits are clearly more wealthy, and then there's more poorer kind of.
And who is the richest?
Bilbo eventually becomes the richest, but he is not quite at this point. And he's not yet become the most peculiar. In fact, it says in the beginning of The Hobbit that he's the most respected of all the hobbits. Something which I find kind of interesting.
Because he's good at finding jewelry.
My children insist I tell them all about dragons. Where do they ever hear of such creatures? Respectable hobbits don't discuss such things.
Anyway, so, you know, as we're going along, it's definitely important to note Bilbo's character. It's definitely shifting into more the adventurer, though he still holds on to his respectable hobbitness.
You got me! That was fun!
No, it wasn't. You stood in place the entire time.
Don't tell anybody, but I think Handfast likes me. Do you think so, Mr. Baggins?
How old are you, 5?
Don't tell anybody, but I think Handfast likes me.
And do you know who Handfast is? Master Handfast?
Don't tell anybody.
No. An older man.
Matt?
I think this girl's having a seizure.
Do you
think so, Mr. Baggins?
I'm
not. She's talking to
but
me.
I think Handfast likes me.
I don't know. She's raping him. Verbally.
What do you mean he wants Sam to move there?
What?
Hamfast is Sam's father.
I
knew
that.
Ew.
So this girl,
little girl
is probably eventually going to be... Well, you know. Anyway.
Ew,
you know what?
Well, how do we meet Hamfast here? Young Hamfast. Or not so young Hamfast.
Oh, wait. Do you want me to go find him?
Yeah, let's see if we can find
him. I don't remember.
Just do the things to get to the interesting part. Right now we're stuck.
Yeah, let's just skip all this. Okay, so just keep talking, Chad.
Anyway, so, I mean, we've been spending a lot of time just exploring so far through Hobbiton, and talking a lot about the most idiotic elements of Hobbiton, and there's a lot of very silly things about Hobbiton society. But besides that, and besides drowning in a river, besides that, I think it's very important to go back, especially to the elements of the plot here. The dwarves basically barrel into Bilbo's home after being accidentally invited to it. And what we have is the dwarves coming and barging in, and Bilbo's forced to go on this adventure. Though a part of him wants to go. He has, you know, a very famous family tree of being a Took as well, though his last name is Baggins. His mother was a Took, Belladonna Took. And the Tooks are Took.
She was.
So it's a fan, like Peregrine Took. Anyway, and as we're going along, it's important to see his Tookish side here.
Great.
Anyway, as we're jumping across the lily pads here, I mean, you know, this is the Tookish nature waking up. We can see it in the quote following the song, and we can see basically the adventure of this tale being captured in the dwarf song. So now we go to the actual book here. We have an actual reading, which we're going to do from
Sure.
Hooray!
Let's go to
the... So here's the, why don't you read it, Jackson?
This entire page?
Yeah, right, this is poem area, right?
Just go up to,
it.
Yes. We're consulting the actual book there and back again. The actual memoirs
right,
is
sure. Far over the misty mountains cold, to dungeons deep and caverns old, we must seek away ere break of day to seek the pale enchanted gold. The dwarves of yore made mighty spells, while hammers fell like ringing bells, in places deep where dark things sleep in hollow halls beneath the fells. For ancient king and elvish lord, their many a gloaming golden hoard, they shaped and wrought and light they caught to hide in gems on hilt of sword. On silver necklaces they strung the flowering stars, on crowns they hung the dragon fire and twisted wire. They meshed the light of moon and sun. Far over the misty mountains cold, to dungeons deep and caverns old, we must away, ere break of day, to claim our long-forgotten gold. What do you want me to stop?
No, can you go? That's good.
Okay, sure. Goblets they carved there for themselves, and harps of gold, where no man delves, there lay they long, and many a song was sung and heard by men or elves. The pines were roaring on the height, the winds were moaning in the night, the fire was red, it flaming spread, the trees like torches biased with light, the bells were ringing in the dale, and men looked up with faces pale. The dragon's ire more fierce than fire, something, something, something here. That's
perfect!
I would have.
Man,
okay.
Those dwarves knew how to ramble.
Precisely.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, so, anyway.
So did Tolkien.
Well.
Yeah, he wrote, like,
He wrote the Lord of the Rings.
Oh, man.
It's
good
brand. Anyway, on to the more specific details.
We were considering about changing the podcast name from the Inklings to, the Professor and the Stupid Cat.
Who's the Stupid Cat?
You.
Good question.
Okay. Anyway, so...
Anyway! Sorry.
This is going to be a very long journey to Erebor. Actually, I'm kind of half dreading this.
Alright, so about the passage that I just read. Well,
pardon me, Carl. Do you have your father's hammer? He needs it to fix the bridge.
Oh, I smashed myself in the head with it. That's
something else to play with.
Anyway, yes, going on to specific details regarding the poem. Now, the ballad here is basically an insight into dwarven society. Clearly, not that they're definitely obsessed with gold and jewels and all that stuff. We also know that the dwarves themselves are not only, I wouldn't say obsessed with gold, I don't think that's their only primary objective here. They do have a love for craftsmanship as well. But it's really a matter of how their society is built. It's on basically also taking vengeance upon wrongs, especially done by the fell creatures and minions of Sauron, or of Morgoth of old. And we've explored, basically, you know, earlier incarnations of villains, according to the history of the World Series before. But one thing which we have not done so far is going into, especially as we're exploring through the adventures here represented, how the universe itself is built on such a level that even these characters can have individually, you know, great backstories. Thorin Oakenshield, who is singing this song, is one of the most famous dwarves in recounting the story. We're going to be hearing most about him. And he found the old goblin and the dwarf horse we talked about earlier when his grandfather was slain before the doors of Moriah, aka Moriah, just mispronounced it, by Azog the goblin. And that's going to be very interesting because, of course, as we're going along, Azog is actually the father of the head goblin at the Battle of Five Armies, which we'll be fighting throughout the ending. His father is actually, the captain's name is Bolg, the chief of the goblins, and he's given like a one sentence mention. In the movie, we can expect there to be quite far more, I would say. But it's important to keep that in mind. So, you know, we get this introduction.
Treasure! We've found the chocolate of the dragon's dead.
They shouldn't take long.
Have you ever played Sonic Unleashed? There's like this little character named Chip. So he's like this little flying sprite. He has no clothes, but he like offers you chocolate. So he like pulls chocolate from his back and then hands to him. He's like, "Want some chocolate?" And I just wish I could yell back at him, "No, Chip, I do not want your ass chocolate."
Oh, besides Chip.
In the meantime, let's talk to Bobber.
Yes.
Hello, Bilbo. We still need more supplies for our journey. If you happen to find any provisions, bring them back to me.
There's a buddy shops here. Just, I think I'm going to go get some spices over here at this lady.
Right.
I'm going to talk to this lady who's going to tell me to pick these chests because she's too lazy to do it herself.
Good morning, Loretta.
Good morning,
Bilbo. Well, that's like the most normal name.
Bumper the dwarf tried to buy some sugar and spice, but I couldn't find the keys to my spice chest.
Did everybody lose their stuff?
Your mother had a talent for opening locks without a key. Do you have that talent too? Pick the locks on those chests, and you're welcome to all the spices you need.
So, what's interesting, we have a...
Where's my hammer? Where's my butter churner? Where's my...
They're hobbits. They're worthless, fritzling hobbits.
Everything?
Anyway. Besides that, we also have a reference to Bilbo's mother, the fantastic Belladonna Took. She basically married Bungo Baggins. Do not laugh at the name, just another
one. Bingo, was it?
Yes, we already discussed that.
Okay, you, Mr. Baggins. Hello, Holman.
Holman!
H-O-L-M-A-N.
Do you know who he is?
Nope.
The master of Sam's father, the old gaffer, also called Hamfast. He's Hamfast's, he actually might be the old gardener for Bilbo. And he basically
those are
does
really
the
persistent yeah. crows on that scarecrow. Well, they had to, like, whack them 5 times to get them to fly away. They're just like, those are really badass crows. They're like, yeah, we're getting hit with a stick, but we're going to stay on the scarecrow.
Well, they're quite, persuasive. I think they're trying to stay here. So as we're heading off on the quest, any real descriptions more we can gather concerning the Shire?
Well, we're in a field that's apparently growing grass.
Well, there's also, there's a maze of, just some hedges over there, which is, like, this little quest over there.
A hedge maze and a grass farm.
Where, there seems to be some sort of, very, kind of humbling, yet very, talkative hobbit, where if you, if he ends up seeing you, and he begins talking, you lose.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm horrible.
Are you serious?
Are you serious?
What is the name of this hobbit?
I will do so. I'll find out, but,
Blarb the hobbit. I don't know.
I'll, you know.
You're looking a little thin, Bilbo. You don't want to waste away, do you?
Okay, thank you. I'm gonna go get the stuff from this person over here.
That's kind of ironic, considering that the lady looks kind of anorexic.
I thought I'd never get rid of those crows.
His name is Holbert?
Holman, right?
Holbert.
Holbert.
Different person.
All right. So, we just screwed up with that Westman.
No, no, Holman was the different person.
Oh, really? Oh, good.
Don't worry, John. There's another person hiding over here. I can feel it with my spider sense are tickling.
We're in Middle Earth, Max. We're in Middle Earth.
Spider-Man does whatever a spider does.
This is so uneducated.
I'm afraid of what my listeners are thinking of.
You're too good at this game.
Yes, we are. We're very good
at
this.
I am too good at this game.
We are so good at this game.
That's because all the little kids are just, like, standing in the open.
Yeah, well, that's what they are.
They're not exactly hiding.
Okay.
So, on to our greatest adventure, which lies ahead. Today and tomorrow yet to be said. The chances are the changes are yours to make. The mold of your life is in your hands to break. Quoting the animated film from 1977.
I really did enjoy that film.
Actually, 1976, I'm pretty sure.
I mean, I at least I love that film.
I actually have it on my iPod, believe it or not.
Yes, don't judge you.
yes. I have the animated Hobbit, Lord of the Rings, and the Return of the King adaptation.
So?
The Return of the King.
Theoden looks like an old man. Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay.
So
that's what I do. Whenever I like something, I go on the wiki and just rate it to know everything. I know everything about Resident Evil. I know way too much about Oblivion because I've been spending the last few days in the wiki. Love the Elder Scrolls, so those are the games. Well, what else do I know too much about? I rated like the Half-Life Marvel wiki. I don't know too much about that. I don't know, it's just fun to do that. So it's okay to have super large knowledge of things.
Well, that's good to know, because this podcast has been a podcast of ramblings for the fans. Now we are actually traveling through the secondary universe. It's a game.
So do you think it's about time we start to head off?
Yeah, I think our listeners
stop laughing about collecting eggs from these stupid chickens. Just go to the place.
I know, but I get a whole bunch of these courage points from Bomber.
No.
Courage points? You're collecting eggs, not fighting dragons.
No, but like...
Well, we will be fighting dragons, and we will be fighting dragons shortly. Yes. Unfortunately, we probably have to head out now, but we will be embarking upon our quest from what some of us, maybe all of us, may never return. This is a solemn moment. Our object, I take it, is well known to all of us. Well, maybe not all of us, but you soon will in our next episode as we travel through the Lone Lands. Thank you very much. This has been your host, Eric Rhino. I approve this message, and I am here with Jaxus Lozington and Lord Octocide. Yay.